Good morning. A major move in Brexit negotiations yesterday, but the Northern Ireland border issue is still unresolved. The UK and EU say they have made decisive progress on a deal that will lead to the UK leaving the European Union. It includes a two-year transition period during which time the UK will largely abide by EU rules. That will give businesses and government departments more time to prepare for the future permanent relationship. However, there has still been no breakthrough on how to solve the border problem and the so-called backstop option. Intensive talks on Irish issues are due to begin in Brussels next week. Let's get our head around this with BBC Economics and Business Editor John Campbell.
Morning
to you, John.
Hello.
Morning, good morning. So what's been agreed and what's the fudge?
Right, so what's been agreed is some of the big issues like the so-called Brexit bill, like migrant rights. And because those things have been nailed down, it means now the EU say, OK, we will be prepared to offer you a transitional period. So as you say, although we're going to be leaving in 2019, we will continue to follow basically all the EU rules up until the end of 2020, which will smooth the path for the UK leaving the EU. Some people speculating that transitional period could actually go on for an even longer period. So that's the really important thing, which was nailed down yesterday. But when it comes to the Irish border, I don't think we're really that much further forward. And I think we just have to back up a little bit so we can understand what's happening here. So back in December, the UK and the EU, they agreed there will be no hard border in Ireland after Brexit. So everybody was on the same page on that one. And they said that if no better solution to avoiding a hard border could be found, then Northern Ireland or the UK as a whole would continue to follow the rules of the customs union and the single market, which were necessary to prevent a hard border. Then we jump forward to January and the EU publishes a legal text and it says, OK, that backstop option, that which we agreed on in December, to actually turn it into something practical, what it would mean is that if we have to implement a backstop, it would mean Northern Ireland having to stay in the customs union and staying in most of the single market. So unionists went nuts at that, said no way.
The DUP, there's no way they're having it.
No way, yeah. And the Prime Minister as well, she said no British Prime Minister could sign up to that. So then what we got yesterday was the UK saying, OK, right, we still agree in principle there needs to be a backstop. But we just don't agree with the one that's on the table at the moment. So we need to come up with a different backstop which satisfies everybody. So I think the difficulty is that how is that backstop actually going to work in practice then? Because the EU are pretty clear how they see it working, and it's going to be quite difficult for them at this point to start diluting what the backstop means. So there is now more talks going to happen in Brussels between the UK and the EU looking at, you know, around the backstop. And then they're also going to explore other ideas, which is because I think what the UK also want to say is, OK, the backstop option, we agree that needs to go into the final withdrawal agreement. But we also want our other ideas to go in there. We want the trade deal to be in there and we want a potential special deal for Northern Ireland to be in there. What the EU are saying is, OK, if you want those other ideas in there, you need to bring us forward some definitive proposals, and we haven't seen those yet.
John, the backstop, let's talk a little bit more about it. So I get it why some unionists might be against it, because it differentiates Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. But isn't that the point of why it might be so positive for Northern Ireland? It differentiates Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK, and therefore some businesses around the world looking to set up in the UK might think, well, there's a nice gateway into Europe, Northern Ireland, cheap land, cheap property prices compared to elsewhere. Why wouldn't unionists want to contemplate it?
I think, you know,
from an economic point of view.
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on here. I think some business leaders potentially see an opportunity in Brexit, where, you know, they're talking about us as a bridge into Europe. I'm not quite sure how that would work in practice, because generally the way it works, say, with the customs union or the single market, you basically have to follow one rule book. So it's one or the other. So you're either, you know, have that close relationship, a very close relationship with Europe, or you would have to have a very close relationship with the UK. It's hard to ride both horses. But there may be some kind of nooks and crannies in there where there could be an opportunity. But, you know, the thing about, you know, unionist parties is they're there to defend the union. And, you know, we have heard from unionist politicians in the past, like Nelson McCausland, saying, you know, if Brexit ends up making us a little bit poorer, but we increase our sovereignty, that's a sacrifice that he thinks people will be prepared to make. So, and, you know, even we think about, say, technological solutions around the border as well. So many unionist politicians saying the technology is there, can be deployed, it can help make sure that the border remains pretty frictionless. But then other people throw that back on them and say, okay, if this technology is good and it helps reduce friction, wouldn't it work even better if you just had it at the seaports? Because there you've only really got, you know, we have to worry about Larne, Belfast, Warren Point and Derry. So you only have to put it, all this technology in four places. If you're going to have to deploy technology along the border, it has to be along hundreds of roads and, you know, there are expense and difficulties there.
Has the UK government moved at all in so far as they've agreed there should be a backstop? Is that movement?
I don't really think it is, because they agreed in December there would be a backstop. That was in the December agreement, that they signed up to say, listen, there are three options to solve the border. First should be a trade deal, second would be a special deal, and the third one would be this so-called backstop option. But then whenever the EU said, right, this is what we understand the backstop option to be, the UK said, no, there's no way we're wearing that. So we're just back to the December position where they're saying, OK, in principle it needs to be a backstop, but we still have to agree what that actually would mean in practice on the ground.
Let's have a listen to what Martin O'Mueller told Good Morning Ulster today.
There's only one backstop. The EU27, the Irish government, Sinn Féin, all those who voted to remain the EU, there's one backstop. That backstop is full alignment with the customs union, so there's no border. So we don't have this. Like, well, the reality is that if there is a Brexit on the terms of the DUP, we will become an economic backwater. If there is a backstop as laid out by the EU27, or a better arrangement, because they've said to Mr. Davis, come forward with a better arrangement if you could do so, that means we have the best of both worlds. We can trade with the EU27, but also trade without hindrance with Britain.
Let's have a listen also to what Nicholas Watt, the Newsnight political editor, said last night. He had this update on the Prime Minister's position.
Well, Theresa May has, as you say, written to Donald Tusk, the European Council President, to offer assurances that the UK government will ensure that there is no hard border in Northern Ireland. Now, Donald Tusk had a few weeks ago warned that the UK was in danger of backsliding from an agreement that it reached with the EU back in December. The Prime Minister has said this evening that the UK is committed to that agreement in its entirety. So what does that mean? It means that the UK will, as it said in December, maintain full alignment with the rules on the single market and the customs union, which support north-south cooperation. Mm. Now, it is important to say that Downing Street believes that this backstop agreement will not be necessary because there will be, they believe, a comprehensive free trade agreement between the UK and the EU, and that will be so closely aligned that you won't need to worry about the Irish border.
Does that change anything, John?
Well, there's two things in there. First of all, that language about the full alignment, which is necessary to, you know, prevent a hard border, protect the Good Friday Agreement, etc., etc. The UK takes a very minimalist view of what alignment would be needed there. The EU and the Irish government takes a much broader view of the RAF alignment that would need to be. So that's a discussion and a debate which is already had and potentially will now reopen again. The second thing is about timing and sequencing. So what the Irish government have always said and what the EU support them in is to say, listen, we need to have the backstop written in there in case none of the other options actually come to fruition. So that will have to be in the withdrawal agreement. But the other options, they can't be in the withdrawal agreement until they're actually properly nailed down. So in terms of the overall trade deal, the UK and the EU will only start negotiating a trade deal in earnest after the UK has left the EU next year. So you can't obviously put that into the withdrawal agreement because it hasn't been negotiated yet. So I think what much of the focus will be on now is the middle option, which is to say, here is a special deal for Northern Ireland, which involves technology and devolution and who knows what else. The UK will be saying, if we work this up into a sufficiently detailed and coherent form, can we put that in the withdrawal agreement? Because then that will say, well, it's not just the backstop and the withdrawal agreement, there is something else there as well.
But when Theresa May, John, said she would never accept this and nor would any British Prime Minister, is she saying that while at the same time accepting it?
No, all they have done is accept there should be a backstop in principle. What they're not agreed on is what that actually means in practice. So the EU are pretty clear about what they think it means in practice. It would mean Northern Ireland or potentially the whole of the UK having to stay in the customs union and the single market. But the UK seem to think it might be something different. So I think that's
why... Well, this is farcical, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why I think we're just where we were in December.
Yeah.
We agree the principle of a backstop, but the two sides don't agree what it would actually mean in practice, having had 3 months of discussion on it. So we're now into a position where their talk's going to be focusing on Ireland and starting in Brussels next week. I think every Monday and Tuesday for the next 3 or 4 weeks there'll be Irish discussions. And then that leads us up towards June, when there's another big meeting of the EU leaders. So you would hope by that stage that some more detail will have been fleshed out on what backstop would be acceptable to the UK, and also what special deal the UK might think can be done for Northern Ireland.
Stay there, John, if you can, and we can speak together to the Fine Gael Senator, Neil Richmond. Morning to you, Neil.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, I suppose it's another element of progress towards the overall conclusion of the Brexit talks, I suppose.
Is it really progress, though?
Yeah, no, because one thing, and I think it's been lost a lot in the discussion, is we actually have a nailed-down transition period now following yesterday's meeting. That's something that's quite important for business across the UK, across Ireland. It's going to bring us right up to December 2020. It means that whatever is agreed in March 2019, that we will have that good period to actually put it in implementation, that people can prepare and really see what it's going to look like. So that's the big take. In relation to everything else, there's been acceptance that there will be a backstop, hopefully if never needed to be used, and we can move on after this draft is agreed at the European Council meeting this weekend. We can move into the really tangible side of the trade negotiations.
You're sounding like a man who's got a backstop.
Well, a backstop was agreed in December, and the principle remains. What's going to happen now is the exact definition of it will be worked out. There's been an acceptance that there will be an element of a backstop, but everyone agrees, both the European British side,
yeah.
No one ever wants to see the backstop actually have to come into force. What we all want to do is agree the full and comprehensive customs and trading relationship. That'll mean it's never needed. And I think that's a really important thing to focus on.
So you,
and that's
so,
what we're moving into now.
So to be clear, what you're saying is that there will be an element of a backstop, but the substance is not yet agreed. Is that the Fine Gael's position?
Well, it's not my position. It's the agreement that was reached in December. A draft legal text was prepared a week or two ago. And at this stage, the British government and the European negotiating side have seen that this will be put in place unless something better can be achieved. And that's what we're working towards now. This isn't my position. This is a statement of fact repeating what was agreed in December, what was agreed a few weeks ago, and what is being put in place now. It's something that hopefully will never, ever be needed, but it will be there unless there's a better British alternative, which we're waiting to see.
So theoretically then, the Irish government is willing to negotiate that backstop?
No, theoretically, there's no theoretics in it. What has actually happened, because bear in mind, the Irish government aren't negotiating here. We're part of the European side. This isn't a tripartite negotiation. What is happening is the European and British negotiating teams have agreed there will be a backstop where Northern Ireland will remain fully aligned with Ireland if needs be. However, where we will continue to work towards is either option A, which is our preference.
The DUP are going to be spitting out their tea listening to you this morning.
But this is nothing new. I don't see how this is a shock or revelation. What we're working towards is a new customs trading relationship between the EU and the UK as a whole that will make a backstop absolutely irrelevant. It will mean there's no real border in the island of Ireland, and there's no border within the United Kingdom as a whole. That is a shared aim everyone actually
but
has.
But there's a big timing issue here, though. Because it's an issue of really saying to the UK and also the DUP, I suppose, saying, right, OK, you jump first, you agree the backstop, and then after the withdrawal agreement has been signed and the UK is out, then we will work through the trade agreement. But that
trade negotiations start next week.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do that the EU is not going to finalise a trade agreement. The EU is not going to finalise a trade agreement before Brexit Day. They have said that the trade agreement can only be finalised after the UK becomes a third country.
Yeah, when it gets signed off. But also, you have to mean all this has to still get the assent of the European Parliament. It has to go through the whole process. As they say, nothing has been agreed until everything has been agreed. This is just moving along the next stage in the process. And for people to jump and say this means this will definitely happen or that will definitely happen is a bit premature.
And remind us, John,
we're in intense negotiations.
I'm aware at this time of the morning, John, people are getting in and out of the car. Yeah. This buzzword backstop. Just remind everybody what that backstop is again.
The backstop is that if nothing better can be agreed, so if there's not an overarching trade deal which would prevent a hard border, if there's not a special deal for Northern Ireland which would prevent a hard border, then either the UK or Northern Ireland would continue to follow the rules of the single market and the customs union, which are necessary to prevent a hard border, protect the Good Friday Agreement and protect the all-island economy. And on the EU's reading of that, that would mean that Northern Ireland, at the very least, would have to stay in the customs union and in the single market for goods.
You know, the leverage that the DUP has, John, they're not going to allow that to happen.
Well, what's interesting, one of the more interesting things yesterday was the DUP say, listen, they are relaxed about what was agreed or what was talked about yesterday. That they say the border wasn't going to be resolved, the border hasn't been resolved and was never going to be resolved at this stage. Now, the DUP were, by the same token, very clear a couple of weeks ago that what the EU had put on the table in terms of what a backstop would mean was not acceptable to them. So we're still in this position where the principle of a backstop is there. As me and Neil agree on that. But the actual substance of what it means is still to be worked out. And the substance of the backstop is going to have to be one which will satisfy the Conservative Party and the DUP.
Let's bring Claire Hannah into this morning. Your thoughts, Claire? Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts about the backstop?
Oh, sorry.
The word of the day.
Well, the backstop, I mean, it is, the can is still in motion. You know, there's an agreement that there will be some sort of agreement. So, you know, like others, I'm glad we're through another milestone without a whole pile of drama, because I really don't like Brexit, but I particularly don't like all of the kind of, you know, drama and tension heightening around it. The fact is, you know, time goes on and goes on that the British side are being asked to produce the alternative solutions. I think the fact that it has gone without a lot of rejection of the text is probably the dawning, beginning to happen, that, you know, this backstop has to happen. The fact is there are alternatives to it, and that is the whole of the UK staying in the single market and the customs union. And it's worth noting that the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee produced a report on Friday, and that's no Remainer conspiracy. The Conservatives and the DUP have a majority on that. And that, and that's the difference between somebody making an assertion in a debate or whatever and just a committee of professionals listening to a lot of evidence. And they agreed that there wasn't a technical solution in existence, and that the best option was single market and customs union alignment for the whole of the UK. So if the DUP really think that any specific deal for Northern Ireland is so awful, they can advocate for that.
Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
There's 2 points here. The British public, per se, have shot themselves in the foot by voting for Brexit, because it's going to inevitably lead to the dissolving of the United Kingdom, because Northern Ireland is attached to the Republic of Ireland. I'll put your politics to the side, whether you're Catholic or Protestant. It will be a physical impossibility, because the border is 362 miles in length, and it will be physically, technologically impossible to protect that 362 miles.
Why would it be impossible?
Because, well, use the example of technology. You go to some wee backwater parts of the border where there's nothing but fields. How are they going to technologically stop people bringing goods across the border, people getting slammed to Dublin and just coming across the border? How are they going to stop that? You tell me, Mr. Smarty Pants, how they're going to technologically protect 362 miles of the border.
Well, of course, I'm not the smart one. John Campbell is. How would they do that, John?
Well, people who favour technological solution would say is there a combination of administrative and technological fixes you could use. So the plan that the British government has is to say, listen, for small companies, we just wouldn't stop them anyway. The trade is fairly small, and we would trust them to effectively, if there's any customs duties to be paid, they would pay them in arrears, a bit like they pay their VAT. For the bigger companies which trade across the border, of which there are only about sort of 50 or so significant players, they would be what we call authorised economic operators. They would get a smooth customs path. They would basically be under a trusted trader scheme, which again would mean they would only need to be very limited spot checks, and most of the checking would say take place at warehouses before lorries get anywhere near the border. Now, I'm not saying that these are all necessarily going to work, but that is the theory which is out there. Now, there are a couple of things today. For example, there's a paper published by a guy called Shankar Singham, who's very close to Boris Johnson, which kind of fleshes out those ideas. We're also, within the next 5 minutes, going to hear from a man called Lars Carlson, who's giving evidence to a House of Commons committee, and he wrote a paper called Smart Borders 2.0, which also fleshes out some of these ideas. So he's going to get a grilling in the next 5 minutes or so to ask him, listen, to what extent could technology help on the border? I don't think anybody's saying that technology on its own can solve the problem, but there are potential fixes there.
Can I also make the point, please, Stephen, regarding the DUP? Arlene and her band of merry men, you're right, they must be spitting their tea out this morning, because if they think for a second that Northern Ireland will leave the European Union, when it's physically attacks the Republic of Ireland, it's not going to happen, because the ultimate protection for any powers is the Good Friday Agreement. And that supersedes Brexit. So there will be some sort of deal done. And it baffles me why Ireland isn't using their leverage.
Claire, what should be happening here next in Northern Ireland? Is it important to sell this to the people, to sell this to the public, as to what this will actually mean, or do you think the public get it?
No, I don't. I think unfortunately a lot of people have switched off with Brexit, because it's you know, it's the same thing, and it's a lot of it's very detailed, and unfortunately a lot of people have all along used Brexit as a cipher for what they really want to do. So you know, if you really want, you know, and muddying the water, I think clearly we should have spent the last 18 months, we should have spent a lot of time before the referendum preparing for all outcomes. But yes, if we were in any way serious, we would be doing the preparatory work, you know, about how a sort of a special status or a unique arrangement deal might work. We should be selling it to people, as John Campbell said. You know, there is some appetite for it in business. A lot of people see that it could be a good win-win situation and give Northern Ireland a unique advantage. But we should be trying to talk about the detail of it, and we shouldn't be fear-mongering about how it's going to you know, create a border, or it's going to be an annexation or any of those things. We should just try and talk about Brexit in practical terms, if at all possible, and just do what we can to reduce some of the anxiety and tension around it.
Here's David in Bangor. Morning, David.
Well, good morning. I'd just like to add a couple of comments to the conversation this morning. The Irish so-called backstop, that not so much the Irish, the EU one, but the Irish, of course, love it as well. It's not a backstop at all, of course. It's their first option. This is what they wanted from the very start. And Ireland would love that. Why doesn't
Ireland
leave the EU? Why doesn't Northern Ireland stay in the EU with Ireland? And that even makes us closer to United Ireland. But I'd like to suggest another similar option. Why don't Ireland leave the EU with the UK?
Claire,
that solves all the border issues, all the problems. And that's just as disingenuous as the nonsense we have heard from Barnier.
I think, David, Claire Hanna wants to speak to you. Go on, Claire.
Well, no, I first of all, addressing the thing that Ireland should leave. No, if Britain sticks its hand in the fire, other people aren't going to do that. And every European country is watching with, you know, almost their head behind a cushion about how awful the UK is going and how dreadful. So, no, and I think poll after poll shows that in Ireland, pro-European sentiment remains high, probably even higher than it was before Brexit was mooted. But in terms of, you know, Ireland secretly want this and it's all been a big plot to get a United Ireland, that's completely nonsensical. I mean, bear in mind, Ireland weren't the ones who pushed Brexit. The Dublin government made some serious interventions against Brexit and have campaigned very hard. And all they're trying to do is protect economic interests on this island and indeed protect the European Union. And can I be very clear? Before special status, and if that's what we need to have, that's what we need to have, I would much prefer regulatory alignment across both islands as close to the status quo as possible. I would prefer that to a unique deal. But if Brexit is happening...
Yes, David, go on.
Look, after that extremely long response, I'd like to just say one thing. The EU's attitude to the UK is completely understandable. They are terrified of a good deal. They can't do it because half of Europe is now looking away from them. Italy, France, all the eastern countries are now very unhappy about the quotas they've been forced to take. It is a house of cards which is going to collapse. But the thing that I can't understand is the Irish position. The Irish are not negotiating about this border at all. They're sitting on their hands. They're kicking the ball away. Every time the British try to come up with a solution, they step back and say, I don't like that. But this is more in Ireland's, interest than Britain's. There's a 70% trade link up between Ireland and Britain. They should be trying their hardest to try and get this thing working. Varadkar's strutting about like a wee pompous world figure that he thinks he is, but he's just a pawn by Barnier. They're using Ireland to try and get their way, and if Ireland falls by the wayside, they don't give a stuff about that. The problem is that even if this is a deal and the British come out of this and they are a free country, if they have a bad taste in their mouth, I would warn the Irish people about this. If they come out of this with a bad taste in their mouth, they could look elsewhere for those deals with Britain. With Ireland, and they could leave Ireland swinging in the wind. And you see, if they do that, God help them if they go and ask Barnier for help. They should remember where their main friends are in this world, and it's the UK, not the EU. That's all I want to say.
Stephen Farry joining us now from the Alliance Party this morning. Well, Stephen, David, quite strong there, certainly strong on his view as to what should happen next, Stephen.
Well, I mean, in my view, Brexit is a historic mistake, but it is something that is likely to happen. But I think there's a different approach here that can be taken, which is the entire UK stays in a customs union which avoids any borders in terms of either Ireland or down the Irish Sea.
Can you imagine those Tory backbenchers stomaching anything close to that? The John Redwoods of this world.
Speaking of Parliament, Stephen, I mean, I believe there's now a firm majority in both Houses of Parliament, including the House of Commons, for staying in a customs union. I think most of Labour, the Lib Dems, Scottish Nationalists, and indeed some Tories, all are supporting that option. And the issue is at what stage a vote can be taken along those particular lines. And on top of that, then, if Northern Ireland itself stays in the single market, we could have a situation where we have the ultimate sweetheart deal, where we are essentially a bridge between the rest of the UK and the European Union to fit in both camps. And rather than us being an economic backwater, we could actually really take off economically because we have both those links.
James in North Belfast. Morning, James. Then we're going to the news. Morning, James.
Stephen, I think there's two things. There's an economic border and there's a human border. And it's the human border that's the hardest to control, because if the DUP and the Brexiteers say we want to maintain our borders, just how do we do that without a hard structure? So there's that element of it, and then there's the trade element. And I think the backstop option, or the option that Stephen's just mentioned there, is actually the only solution that can work both ways. Otherwise, we're going to have people, migrants, in the EU coming into Ireland, just crossing the border, and then they're in the UK. And if we haven't got some form of border control, what's going to happen? So the Brexiteers need to get real and to say, you can't just say facial recognition. If there's five people in a car, you ain't going to get the people in the back seat. So this is all just needs to come down and find some real solutions here. And Stephen Farry is absolutely right. There's a sweetheart deal to be had, and I think that's where we should be.
OK, James, thank you. Stephen Farry, thank you.